Agenda is there. Marcus is scribing. We have a number of issues on the agenda right now that we believe can get resolved pretty quickly. So let's just basically go down them and see how far we get today. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda? Anything else that we need to discuss today?
Well, the only thing is maybe that we could shuffle around the second half of the call a bit, because there are easier issues where we could, that we could resolve more easily, I think.
Okay. Do you have a list of those issues, or?
Yeah, I have something.
Okay. All right. Starting in which agenda item, Marcus?
Well, I would say. Well, 197, maybe we can talk about that, but definitely about Objectify Link and from that on.
I think Objectify Link we can just resolve. Everyone's voted. I think that was the whole point of voting in GitHub, is to avoid time here.
Right. Okay. Well, how about this? If we if any of these result in more than 10 minutes of discussion, we can table it and move on.
Good.
Marcus, that you, if Marcus, you have any suggestions, if we get to an issue and anyone wants to skip the issue, they feel like it's going to take a long time to resolve it, then we can skip it.
Yeah.
Okay. First up is issue 159, and this is adding language to expanded form. I think this is mostly what we're trying to do is see if we can just consolidate two issues here. So basically we've resolved this issue as far, we've resolved this issue, and the hope is to basically close this issue by referencing issue 133. Issue 133 is adding a language container type to the JSON LD syntax.
So, Manu, just another sort of point of order here. Again, the point, I think, of our voting on GitHub was to avoid spending a lot of time on the phone to do this, and I only see plus one. So, if we do want to talk about these things, we can just very quickly get to a proposed to resolve to close in this case.
Okay. Okay. So close issue 159 by referencing issue 133. Okay. Any objections to that proposal? The issue tracker. That is resolved. Next up is issue 170, clarifying sets and lists. Link to it is here. And basically, I had forgotten why we had set. Set exists so that whenever a developer puts it into the context, when they get back to compacted form, it will be in an array. And it looks like there's a whole bunch of plus ones for proposal one, which I will paste in the IRC.
Now, proposal one doesn't say specifically that set. This is the discussion of set within a context. And I think the issue is not set within a context. It's set within the body of a document.
I thought it was just set in general. I thought Peter Patel Schneider had an issue because he didn't understand the difference between set and list. in JSON-LD in general. And so it seemed to me that we needed to clarify when you use set and when you use list.
Well, I think those could be considered as two separate use cases, because I think the use of set within the context is clearly, at least in my mind, required. The use of set within a body is gratuitous and doesn't really add anything.
Right, but it's not illegal, right?
It's currently not illegal. I think the question, at least when I was reading through these things in my mind, was why is it even legal? And I think my response at some point was that I believed it was legal simply because it was symmetric with the use of list, but there wasn't a good use of it otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are we agreeing? It seems like we all agree that we don't want to remove it from the body either. So are you saying you'd like to extend the proposal so that we are very clear about its use in body as well?
I don't have a strong feeling about that.
Okay. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Would it simplify or complicate the algorithms if we did not allow it in the body?
I think it's just one more check. It would technically simplify it, but not by that much, right?
Right. Because I'm with Greg on that. I see no use for it in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't know if you had read the comment I wrote a while ago in this issue that I think it's too late for us to redesign, probably, but using container true and false would be just as fine for me in this scenario, and that would exclude the necessity of set as a keyword, and as you can't use booleans as keys, that would mitigate that problem, would evaporate.
Although I feel like we're a little far to go back on that at this point. It just seems like I don't hear anyone with any real strong opinions on whether we should keep it or prevent it. The strongest argument I've heard to just keep it in there is that we allow list in the body of the document. So why don't we allow set? Meaning it's the orthogonality argument.
All right, then I would suggest we vote on the proposals. I would proposal one basically maintains the status quo and adds some clarification text.
Okay.
Proposal two, I think, didn't receive any support.
That's proposal one. Yeah. So do we want to extend proposal one to say that set is allowed for the avoidance of doubt? Set is also allowed in the body of a JSON-LD document.
Well, I mean, it's already there, so we just clarify why it's there, and that's what the proposal is, isn't it?
I think Greg was saying that proposal one really deals with set in the context and not necessarily in the body of the document, so we'd have to extend the proposal to say that set exists in the context, can be placed in the context, and it can also be placed in the body of the document, and we clarify its usage in both places.
So I think the spec is already describes its use in both the context and the body. So we really the only effect of proposal one, I'd say, is to add some explanatory text about why it's there, and I would just assume that meant we would explain it in both its use within the context and the body.
Okay. So that as a proposal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there any meaningful use in the body, like to override container list for something, or is it just gratuitous?
it would override container list in the case it was used with a term, obviously, that had list coercion.
Yeah. Then there is some minute usage of it, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, realistic use would avoid having a term that coerces to list when you're using it in a context that it doesn't mean list. It's an easy to avoid problem.
Yeah, it's a bad solution to do that. We could explain that in text that there isn't no reasonable use for it in the body. But for uniformity, it's allowed.
Yeah, I think that's the point of that, is to say it's there to be consistent and symmetric with the use of list, but it doesn't have any inherent value.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then it seems like we're more or less in agreement on that. We just need to make sure that the spec text reflects that. Anything else on this issue before we move on? Issue 182, graph versus data set. I guess, Marcus, this is one of those things that might be a long discussion, do you think?
Well, we could try.
Okay.
Well, this is the one that I tried to rephrase, and I think the response I saw for my rephrase proposals 101, 102, and 103, I think, were positive. 104 was really something to really relates more to the issue Richard had raised in the RDF working group. I think it just should be the position of this group that JSON-LD, even though it describes data sets, is appropriate to use in content negotiation cases where you might use other formats,
mm-hmm.
and for use within, say, Sparkle from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
I think that it's really important to see how that fares and the result of the RDF working group's discussion about it. In general, I'm quite uncomfortable with the notion of data sets being so prominent. Actually, in this case, it becomes the actual default case, or the only case for JSON-LD, given that dataset is such an advanced concept representing quoted documents and exports of entire collections of documents. I see that, well, it would be hard to distinguish it in any other way, but, I mean, we've already seen the notion of named graphs coming up as being a good solution to a fairly simple problem with the language map alternatives that came up, which just turned the entire concept of named graphs upside down with lots of misunderstanding in the process. So I'm wary about it as a prominent notion.
Greg?
Yeah, I think the original motivation for our putting named graph support in JSON-LD was, I think, really for the signature, the provenance case, not as a dump format. But the fact is that the technology is pretty equivalent, and that if you were to not use JSON-LD to do this, then Trig would be a reasonable alternative. It just so happens that Trig is also reasonable to use as a dump format, as is NQuads, and that I think NQuads is sort of the format we use for normalization. So, you know, JSON-LD does do this, and I could foresee proposals for other formats, such as RDFA, in the future to also support some notion of named graphs. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that we just set out that even though this is sort of consistent with the specification of dump formats, the use case for which it's intended in JSON-LD is really more about graphs. And as such, it should be useful in cases where graphs are used. I think the question in 104 is about, well, okay, if I am using it for that, let's say I want to get the graph, but I also want to assert provenance information about that graph, which would, I think in my mind, normally be used in the default data set, or the default graph, then that sort of implies that you wouldn't use the default graph. You would use a named graph for the actual resource which was being serialized.
Yeah, but I mean, the provenance in general, I mean, it depends on which level of provenance you're talking about, because the provenance of managing quad stores, for instance, data sets or document management systems, is that you say something about the source of the document, etc., beyond the document. The problem with the data set format is that you have a quote, a document, in another document, and I absolutely see and support the use thereof in JSON-LD to enable the possibility of digital signatures, because then you have to distinguish between the document and the thing describing the document also being a document. But in general, I just see that the RDF, I need to see where the RDF working group will go with this, because I've seen name graphs being used in the wrong level of abstraction, and that's bad.
Right.
It complicates.
I don't know if there's really all that much that we can do to prevent this. I guess it seems like the first three proposals have a fairly good amount of support, and that is just going to push the RDF working group to end up having to say something about this, something definitive about this, and I think that's good. I don't think that there's any other way that this group would want to construct this, you know, data set versus graph thing. In that we can't just say that the JSON-LD document represents a graph, because that's just not true, right? The only possibility here is a data set.
We just want to make it clear that we feel that JSON-LD is appropriate for use as an appropriate serialization format for general RDF graphs, where you might otherwise use Turtle or RDFA.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what I was trying to get to with 104.
So maybe we won't do the 104 thing, because I think there's more to discuss there. But I think 101 through 103 we can definitely come to some sort of resolution on. Anything else before we straw poll on 101 through 103? Okay, this is 101. Normatively define the concept of a JSON-LD dataset. In the context of a dataset, a JSON-LD document including only a default graph serializes a dataset with only a default graph. A JSON-LD document describing a default graph and or one or more named graphs serializes a dataset with default and named graphs. All right. I'm going to solve that. The next one up. Basically, the scope of the blank nodes, Greg, is what are we doing within the document or within the
graph? It's document scope, and which I think is consistent with the way it's intended to be in other RDF serializations, so I wasn't trying to go out into any new ground here.
Okay. And Francois? And then the last puzzle here. Um, This proposal add in the RDF mapping section Richard is writing as a statement that JSON-LD documents serialized data sets. And then proposal 104, we need...
We can't resolve the issue unless we deal with that, I suppose. Or we can resolve to refer this back to the RDF working group, perhaps.
Yeah, I think let's do that. Let's do that and resolve this issue, because I really don't think that that's something that we can deal with here, meaning the issue's just going to stay open forever if we decide that we're going to talk about it, and whatever decision we make is going to have to go over the RDF working group anyway. So how about this? We'll close the issue, and then one of us will take an action to create an issue in the RDF working group.
There is such an action. I will comment on the action.
Okay.
In fact, let me see if I can find the action for the minutes.
Well, isn't this year resolved already now? I mean, why?
It is.
Why isn't this? Okay.
There's an RDF issue that relates to it, tracker issue. I think here it is. It's issue 105. Hold on.
Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, but we should leave this open until that is discussed and resolved, right? Because otherwise we define a situation where there may be no correct way for someone to, for instance, put a JSON-LD serialization of data into a quad store and have the expected effect as outlined in Proposal 104, or actually as asked about in Proposal 104.
Well, I think what we can do is we can close this issue and reopen a new issue if that's the case. I mean, I think our assumption is that the RDF working group is going to do, you know, the reasonable thing here. And if they do that, then we don't have to reopen an issue or keep this issue open.
Can we just resolve to follow the decision of regards to RDF issue 105? It's about graphs, data sets, representations, and it really hits on the same issues.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. I mean, and knowing that basically we're going to align with the decision for issue 105, and if anyone in this group disagrees with that decision, we can raise an issue in this group and discuss it again and push back.
Right.
Align with RDF work group issue 105 regarding, what is this regarding data sets? Regarding graphs, data sets. About that. Align with the RDF working group issue 105. Once there's a final decision from the RDF working group regarding graphs, data sets, authoritative representations, and content negotiation. Oh, think it'll help that graphs versus datasets has a lot more use cases than a lot more direct everyday use cases than HTTP Range 14.
Yeah, as far I haven't followed the discussions closely, but I recall them saying or even resolving that datasets have no semantics, at least in the RDF realm, which, if this bears, should make any such comparison moot.
I think the not having semantics relates to not being able to say that the name of a graph denotes the graph, and that there's no, you can't draw any inferences based upon the naming.
Yeah.
And so this is slightly different in terms of how what the interpretation is for making a, in this case, a trig and turtle documents equivalent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, one of the considerations there was that you might have, if you have two different trig representations, so that being one and then this being another, right, you could certainly see that second one is consistent with describing the triples of the document, whereas first being the metadata of relating to those, the provenance information relating to those triples. If that was the case, that would have implications for JSON-LD, because if the graph was used, it would need to be used along with an ID that had an empty value in order to define sort of the graph name that's the same as the document.
Okay. Anything else on this issue before we move on? I think we can close this issue at this point.
Well, we mark it as resolved. And
right,
close it
as
soon as the spec has been. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Next up is issue 197, abuse of the describe by relation in the link header. This is something that
provocative title.
Oh, it's a Richard title, so be provocative with his issues. So the whole thing here is that there's disagreement on whether the describe by link header can be used for JSON-LD contexts and mean what we mean by them. And so I think the biggest proposal or the most solid proposal so far is to define our own rel value. And basically, I think Richard has said, you know, why don't we just use a full HTTP URL for that rel value?
By the way, someone's we're getting a lot of feedback someplace. Wondering if you're not speaking, perhaps mute, and we can avoid that. Makes it hard to talk.
Okay, so it looks like proposals 1 and 3 are the ones that are gaining, that have support. Okay, so that I'm basically going to copy these two proposals here. So this is the first proposal. There was a discussion on whether we should remove this link header feature, and I think there was general disagreement that we should not remove it. So the first proposal is a question on whether we should remove this link header mechanism. And if we kept it, what we would do with describe by. So this basically says we're going to mint a new term for describe by, the describe by relationship.
So my concern is that an alternative proposal was to use full IRI.
So you're a bit muted. I can hear you, but not well.
It's funny that you can hear me at all if I'm muted. I guess my concern is that the first part of that proposal is, I agree with. The second part might be inconsistent with, say, if we were to choose to use a full IRI in, say, the JSON LD namespace.
So you're saying mint a new URL.
Could we first just vote on whether we keep the feature or not?
Yeah, so maybe the first part of that proposal we can vote on.
Okay, so there's the first part of the proposal. Okay, and then the second part of the proposal is... Second part of the proposal is this right here. So we're going to mint a new URL for the relationship to replace describe by. Nicholas Marcus. So you're saying, so Nicholas's argument has been we shouldn't be so specific that other people can't use this.
I think that's why we use an IRI in the JSON LD namespace. Would it make sense for RDFA to use a rel value in the JSON LD namespace to mean the same thing? I think that's why we use an IRI. If we were to have used a term, a context rel, and that was registered with IANA, then I'd think we'd want to be sure that we did not disable the use of that, say, from RDFA to mean something like an RDFA context.
Yeah, but I mean, when described by many of the relations in IANA are sort of imported from existing usage, so when we define this usage, it would be good to define it in a non-media type specific manner.
And I guess the point that Greg's making is that we're not doing that. We're being very, very, very specific, and we do not intend anybody else to use this rel value.
But how I mean, described by ended up in IANA from the usage of powder. I mean, how was that process? How did it take place? And would there be any push towards doing some kind of registration in the future? I mean, nobody else can use this term. Wouldn't be,
I mean,
that's
well,
exactly
that
the problem
thing
that triggered the discussion.
Yeah, I mean,
so I still don't agree with the arguments, but yeah, everyone else seems to.
I agree with the arguments regarding described by, and I'm sad that neither transformation or profile nor any other term is applicable, and it's also said that when we define something, we leave this problem for anybody else in any other media type.
Well, that assumes that other people have this kind of feature, and it might be a little too early to do that. So in the future, if we see two languages, like let's say RDFA and JSON-LD have this idea of an initial context, I think at that point we should create an IANA media type for it, and then the next version of RDFA and the next version of JSON-LD should understand the full URLs, and they should also understand, like, rel context, the IANA value. So making this an IANA mechanism this early might be too early to do that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
because I mean, you know, we've got transformation and describe by, and we found out that they're not generic enough that we can use them, and more than likely nobody else is going to end up using those because of that, because of the way that they define it. So it might be the best way to approach this type of IANA registration is to wait until at least two languages can share the rel term, or two applications can share the rel term, and then make it an IANA type. But before that happens, you have a full URL to describe the exact feature.
But do we describe the exact feature we want to see registered in IANA, or do we describe something more media type specific?
I think in IANA, eventually in IANA, I think we would specify something that's media type agnostic, more media type agnostic. But for right now, with the full IRI, we specify something that's very media type specific. So you could say that standardizing an IANA term for a feature like this would be a multi-year process. The first stage is to be very specific, be media type specific, and create a specific URL for it, and then when you go to IANA to genericize the feature, that's when you are not media type specific and you don't use an IRI.
But that could also mean that transform could be generalized, and that the goal would be to use something which we define here as context, and that GRDDL defines as transform, and so on.
I didn't quite follow. Are you saying that we could JSON-LD in the future could use transform as well?
Well, if it was genericized and media type agnostic and registered as an IANA link relation with the appropriate agnostic level of definition, it should work.
I'm lost as to what you mean by it. What should work?
The not yet existing generalized media type agnostic term in IANA, which could come from transform just as much as it could come from this, if this also becomes media type tied. I mean, we're just making another term which is specific. So there is nothing related to anything. I mean, if we defined it as is, as generic in semantics, and then in JSON-LD, in the JSON-LD spec, defined how it's supposed to be used with the JSON-LD media type, then we would have already defined the generic term, and it could be imported as is into IANA in the future.
So you're saying in JSON-LD specify, don't go and register the IANA media type. In JSON-LD, we would do rel equals context. The media type it would be associated with would be the LD plus JSON, and that's just in the JSON-LD spec. And then in the future, we would register that at IANA?
Well, I mean that we would use the IRI, would define that relation without explicit ties to the media type.
Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I think the problem with using a term of context and saying it only relates to JSON types is, if I'm doing content negotiation, then how do I know which media type I'm to use? I mean, is it based upon, if I do a request for accept star, I get back so it's the fact that I'm getting back a document with a content type of application JSON-LD and context in that with that
your
content
audio
type.
Dropped out. Your audio
so the fact that I'm,
for a bit there, Greg.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now? Yeah. So I'm just confused. So you're suggesting the context that's defined to have meaning only with respect to the content type of application/LD plus JSON.
No, that's look. It looks like we're doing that. That's my interpretation.
I just think that, you know, we can actually do this in two steps. If we start it by defining context in the JSON-LD namespace, then we can define exactly what we mean in that in within our specifications. If we want to take a further step and propose that the term context in is to be registered with IANA to have the same meaning or a meaning appropriate for whatever media type is returned, then that would be a separate step we could take. And my guess is they'd rather wait to see if there is further use of this in context outside of JSON-LD before trying to claim it for global purposes.
Yeah, but any other usage would have to define another IRI, and then somebody would have to discover that it means the same, well, that there is some idealized generic property which these two would be sub-properties of.
Well, I suggest we try to see if we can resolve this with regards to a JSON-LD-specific IRI rel type, and then we can create a separate issue, perhaps, to track its use as an IANA term.
Right. Any objections to doing that? So we'll have a solution for the JSON-LD spec, and whether or not we want to make this into an IANA term is still kind of an open issue. Noting that I think that's what Nicholas' preference would be, is to make this MIME type agnostic and have an IANA term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's resolve this. So at least we have a solution for the JSON-LD spec, and then we should open, Nicholas, if you don't mind opening a new issue on whether or not we should make this into an IANA term as well.
All right.
What's the process to set up such a namespace document?
We just talk with, we've done it before. We talk with Yvonne or Sandro. Basically, we can talk to the Semantic Web Activity Lead, who's Yvonne, at W3C. He would create a document once the spec goes to REC. Actually, once it goes to CR, we could probably put that document up there. And we can do all the content negotiation stuff and all that stuff. So everything that you mentioned, Marcus, that you were concerned about, we can do all of that through the W3C servers.
I think we did it with RDFA well before we went to CR. It was sort of necessary for processor compliance. I think it probably could go up any time that we wanted.
Yeah. I think we might have to be in last call.
That might be.
Or I think it would be a good idea, because usually once they put stuff up on those servers, they don't like to take it down.
Yeah.
You need, like, director approval and everything for new URLs in the W3C namespace. Anyway, I think that should be a fairly easy process, Marcus.
Okay.
Okay, that was issue 197. This is, next up is issue 140. Consider the Objectify Graphify link method. Greg, you had asked a question on whether or not we had already pushed this off for post-JSON-LD 1.0. The decision that we made was to bring this up again after we have dealt with all of the other issues to see if we have enough time to resolve this particular issue. And I'm kind of pushing on this again because I don't feel that the group has the time to have this Graphify discussion, and I'm trying to see if we can just push it off the JSON-LD 1.0 time frame to a JSON-LD next time frame. And I think Nicholas, you're the person that wants to see this feature the most. I think. I mean, I think all of us want to see this feature, but I think you're in support of it the most. So I wanted to bring it up on the call to see if you have any comments on closing this issue, or at least deferring the issue until the next version of JSON LD. Nicholas?
No, I don't have an objection to that, really. I think the most important thing is to keep thinking about it and trying to implement it and working with it, and hopefully it will be possible to define something definitive within a year or at least or two. I mean, I wouldn't mind, though, keeping it open until we really don't have any other issue open.
Well, it would not be closing it. We would just put it into the JSON LD next category, the next milestone.
So if in theory that we would end up with a huge amount of time, 2 weeks before any final decision on 1.0, we could include it.
Yeah, that's true. But I think all of us remember that it's there. You know, if we ever need more work for the group, we can just look at the JSON LD next category and pull stuff from there.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Okay.
Fine.
Okay, so the proposal is to defer creation of Graphify until after JSON LD 1.0, and we can always move it back if we find a good amount of time to work on something like that. Resolved. Next up is issue 172. Marcus, I think you were concerned about this taking a long time to discuss. Should we just jump to issue 179? Marcus, issue 179 is considering moving WebIDL to an appendix or a note. I'm looking down at the proposals that people have plus one. It seems that a number of people just want, well, it seems that the one without any, the one that has the least number of minus ones is to just close it without change. Which I think the RDF working group is going to have an issue with.
I think it relates to if we rename the document. If the document stays named JSON LD API, then it makes sense that the API come up front. If we end up renaming it to something like processing, then it probably doesn't. Personally, my own use of API is limited. I mean, I implement the API, but as stated, it's not really idiomatic Ruby, so I end up relying more on Ruby idioms to do the API.
So maybe I think we should assume that we're going to rename this document to something that other than what it is right now, and API is not going to be as prominent in the title of the document. So, for example, Richard's suggestion that we name it to like definitions, processing an API or something like that, seems like the thing that is going to be most likely. And if that's the case, I would imagine that we would move the API, the WebIDL, to later in the document. W- which would be proposal
either one or three, I think, whether it's normative or non-normative, I think is perhaps the question, and the RDFWG seemed to feel that it was a problem for it to be normative, but that non-normative was fine. I think it's probably easier to go from non-normative to normative in the future than to go from normative to non-normative.
Yeah, and I think Francois brought up a good point, which is how many other specs have non-normative APIs. And I think the answer to that is not very many, if any. What I think we could also do is tell people, look, if you're going to implement part of the API defined in this document, you must implement all of it. However, you can implement your own API based on top of the algorithms. That's not a problem. It doesn't mean that your JSON-LD API or your JSON-LD processor library is not normative. If you follow, or we could say there are two levels of conformance. One of them is your conformance to the API. The other one is your conformance to the processing rules. And the test suite checks to see if you're conformant to the processing rules.
If we don't have any intention of creating a test suite for the API versus the processing algorithms, then I don't know that it needs to be normative. If we want it to be normative, then there probably should be a test suite that really tests the API.
Sorry, I haven't been paying attention to the queue. Nicholas, you're on, but I don't know if that's from before.
No, before. So,
Francois.
Sorry. So, again, my point is really that I think the choice we have right now is to keep the API or to drop it. Making it non-normative, actually, I don't know, it bugs me as a, it would be a fine way, I mean, I want to keep the API in the spec, so I would more favor that we keep it as normative than at moving it away, but I don't think that we can have an API that is non-normative in a recommendation track document. It seems buggy to me, but I'd be happy to be wrong. Second point is that I suggested in the comments that the one thing we could do is actually have two classes of product, which goes along the lines that Manu just proposed. The test suite is not, since we already have test cases for the algorithm, basically, I think we're more or less, it's kind of easy to test the API, the small web IDL that the spec defines, I think. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. But my main point is really that the question is whether to keep the API or not. I don't think moving it to a non-normative stuff is going to fly well in the end.
Francois, you voted no on proposal one, which was to move it to a normative appendix. Is there some problem with it being in an appendix?
Because I voted minus one just because I felt it was, again, a solution, a kind of, we do not assume that there is an API. We move it, we hide it in an appendix to ensure that people don't see it, but it's still there. So I guess we should be proud of the API. There's no reason to hide it away. So that I voted against moving it to a normative appendix, but I'm fine with keeping it as it is, or moving it, shuffling sections a bit. I'm not against shuffling things.
Okay, so you would be for a proposal that would swap the processing in the WebIDL sections. So that wouldn't put it into an appendix, but it would make the processing rules kind of be the first thing, and then the API would be the second thing in the spec?
Yeah, so basically either solution, switching sections sounds good. But it's zero better. I'm okay with that. Or leaving things as they are good as well.
Okay.
And I'm not totally opposed to completely dropping the API, but I think it's a bit of a pity since we already spent some time on it and we already have implementations. It doesn't seem too harmful to me.
Okay, so let's try a proposal along this line. Marcus or Nicholas, do you have any concerns about doing something like that, basically just swapping the algorithm and the WebIDL API section?
No. I think I did that in the Connect document. I sort of had some... it felt better somehow, so I think it sounds good in general.
Yeah, the only question is if that's enough for the RDF working group, which I doubt.
Well, if the document... I think that the suggested renaming seems to indicate that if API is kept in the name, but as the last word, shouldn't that be enough?
Well, I don't mind. I'm just worried that it wouldn't change anything.
I think it might be enough of a middle ground, especially if we add some of the other language in there saying that, look, you don't need to implement this API. The section's normative. You don't need to implement the API, but if you implement part of this API, you have to implement all of it, meaning the JavaScript, the API. If you implement the JavaScript API, you have to implement all of it. But it's perfectly fine to implement another API that provides the same functionality that the algorithms provide. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
If they aren't satisfied by it, then I don't think there is much left to do but to separate the API into another document and do something. I mean, keep it normative, but in another document. It would sort of disentangle these things. At this stage of the game, they are coordinated, so the hardship of maintaining an algorithm document and an API document shouldn't be so difficult. I'm comparing this sort of to how Sparkle 1.1 is really, what are they, like 10 documents or something like that, which seems absurd at first, but when you look at it, it really makes sense because you only have to focus on the thing you're implementing, so it might be a good solution.
I'm a bit wary of doing that. I feel like that goes a bit too far. Francois, you're on the queue.
Indeed, if that doesn't work well with the RDF working group, one possibility to keep the API somehow as an informative stuff is to publish it as a separate node, as it's going to be separated from the main standard. It doesn't bug me in that case that it's informative only, because it's just really a node standing on its own. I mean, at this point, I would prefer, I think, to see the API, really, to keep the API and document.
Okay, so let's try this proposal. Place the algorithm section in the JSON-LD API document for the API section. Make the API section normative, but clarify that implementers can provide their own API that is compliant with the Do we want to say something about two levels of conformance in there? You're conformant to the algorithms or you're conformant to the API?
Can't we say they're independent? You could implement the API, but do another algorithm internally with this end result.
Although it does say that you can implement the algorithms are for always, well, most L3C specs, the algorithms are for reference purposes, and as long as your output the output from your algorithm is the exact same as the one that's in the spec, you're fine.
Yeah.
I think we do say that. Because I think we already say that.
Yes. I think, no, it's not the same really. I was looking at how we did RDFA vocabulary and expansion as an optional step, which if followed has a definition, but it's a bit stretching the metaphor too far, possibly.
All right, so that is resolved, I think. François? Okay, yeah, François, I think I agree. All right, issue 113. Marcus, do you have another issue that you think would be easier to resolve than this one?
Issue 188, numbers and booleans as type.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so... Okay, and basically Richard has asked what happens when somebody puts at type and they put like one, like the number one in JSON, true or false, or one of the other values that is just not really allowed. Mark has clarified that we already state in the spec what in the grammar what's allowed for type. So the proposal that seems to have
I think proposal 3
sums
it up.
Yeah, okay, so let's do that one. Any other ones that are easy?
184. That's, well, basically, we just have to put the proposal there. And the definition of JSON lead processor in the API is back. The proposal is here.
Yeah. minus 1. Alright. Any other one?
The other one was the renaming of JSON-LD API specs, but I don't think we can resolve that quickly.
Right.
We can try, but...
Yeah, so that's issue 178. A lot of these had a variety of plus one, minus one. I think Richard might have the best. Proposal here. Let's see, issue four. So this would be a fairly... I don't know if it's a big change or not, but it's moving the data model in the grammar section to the JSON-LD API spec and renaming the API spec to JSON-LD definitions processing an API. I kind of like moving the data model out because I think it's kind of a distraction.
In 4B, I think he just suggested we also rename JSON-LD syntax to something more generic.
Yeah, and we discussed that during the last call, and I feel uneasy about doing that.
If we move also the grammar out of it, then it's not really syntax anymore, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just we need to find a good... what are we renaming it to? An introduction to JSON-LD?
Yeah, is it a spec or is it a note?
Or a primer.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it looks completely like a primer.
And that's not so bad.
I don't know. I have reservations about the whole primer thing. And I'm not so sure that we don't make other normative statements in there. I mean, do we make absolutely no normative statements in there? And Francois, you said that you went through and tried to clean up a lot of the normative statements and just put them in the grammar section. But was that every normative statement?
So there are no normative statements, but there are definitions in these sections, and those definitions are... by transitivity normative, because they are referenced by normative statements within the grammar section. So there are a couple of things that need to be extracted from these sections if you want to move to separate the grammar from that document on top of the examples and so on, which indeed constitute a good primer, good something good and so on. Yeah, obviously there is the section about referencing using the link HTTP header, but it's a section that stands on its own. It's easy to move.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking through it. We have a lot of definitions in here. I mean, every single section has a normative definition of some kind. I don't think that we can make this document, or I think it's going to be a lot of work to make this document non-normative. Yeah, a lot of work. Every single section starts off by saying a context definition is, a list is, you know, a name is, embedding is. I mean, embedding's not that important.
Well, if we were to put those into a processing document, then just reference them or just state that they're being restated. I think the key is that they be normative definition someplace.
Yeah, but referencing stuff outside, it's just, it's...
Well, as defined in... I mean, it's similar to referencing general concepts from RDF concepts.
The only difference is that if you if we end up with a primer, I suppose the primer would be published as an informative note, and from the normative document, you wouldn't be able to reference definition things, terms that are defined in an informative document.
No, that's why I was suggesting that we can move the definitions to the normative document.
True.
And then in the primer, we could potentially repeat them and just say that these are basically copied from, for convenience, copied from the normative document.
Okay, we're on the same page.
Yeah, but that's
this proposal, I think, just addresses the first half of it, which is to try to move most of the normative bits we can into a processing document, and it does not specifically relate to turning the syntax document into something that's non-normative. So maybe we can just agree to, I sort of have to take off shortly myself anyway.
I'm trying to see if it would be a good idea to move even the data model part over.
I would address the other issues first and then move back to this issue in the end when everything's more stable.
Sure. Okay, so we're deferring decision on this? Okay. I'm trying to find another issue. So there's issue 172, should each member in a list contribute to term rank?
Maybe while Greg is still here, we could talk about 171, value compaction is broken, because I can't really remember where we stand with that.
I think the issue with value compaction was perhaps the context in which it's invoked. Because I think it basically the way it was written, and I need to refresh myself on if there's been any changes, is it sort of starts off saying that if the value is an object containing at value, then you can do this without consideration of the term selection that was used. And I think my point in saying that it was broken was that there was a number of cases where you might try to compact values for which those statements were incorrect.
Okay.
What's the proposal? I'm still not sure about what the proposal to fix this is.
I didn't specifically state new language to replace for that, although I did note that the language that we used to have before it was rewritten this way actually works. But here, the first statement says if value is only one property in active context has no default language, then the compacted value is the value of at value. And that certainly is not true if term has type ID, for instance. So I suppose a proposal could be to revert the algorithm to the version that existed previously, which I think we've got to go back to May to find.
Well, the question here is which terms do get selected, right? If no terms with a mismatching type are selected, that wouldn't be a problem.
Well, so value compaction, if value compaction is applied universally for values, then, for instance, if it would be applied when you select a term with type I or I or ID, then this is incorrect. But if it specifically says that you use I or I compaction in that case, then it's okay. I think there was a similar case with point 4.
So I remember there being an issue with how tightly coupled the two algorithms were, the compaction algorithm with the term ranking algorithm. And it was something like the term ranking algorithm. If you use a term ranking algorithm, you're guaranteed to pick from a subset that would result in the proper value. I don't know if that's true for this case, but clearly,
well, in which case?
Clearly, looking at the text, it's wrong. But if it's coupled with the term ranking algorithm, you're only picking from values that only have at value. They don't have anything else. Then,
well, except for values which might occur within a list, or values if you're doing value compaction where you did not select a term, but you're using the full IRI. So I think it's just wrong.
Right. So are we talking about needing to expand? We're talking about being very specific in this algorithm. So should we say, well, if it contains an ID key, then do this. If it contains a type key, then do this.
Well, I perhaps we'd need to just re-examine the previous algorithm to see if it was changed for a reason. We're going back quite a ways. And I think there probably is something in the previous algorithm which is inconsistent with our expectations, but it's closer to being right as a universal algorithm than this is, I think.
Okay.
But I think we need to review algorithms anyway, because I think none of them works anymore with language maps, property generators, and all that stuff that we added recently.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Okay,
all right.
Well,
so I guess we just need to re-examine it once the algorithm's been rewritten to be compatible with all of the decisions we've made. I think just note that there was a problem in the way this was stated in assuming too many preconditions.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. All right. I think that's good enough for today. We may want to say at the end of that, I'll add an item in at the end of that issue to say that we need to re-review all of the algorithms, including that one. Okay. Anything else that we should cover today? All right. Thanks, everyone, for the call. For those of you in the States, happy Thanksgiving. And we'll chat again next Thursday.
All right.
Tuesday. Sorry,
Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.